here and online. Thank you for being here. And we're on the book, Christian Everyday Problems. I believe everybody has one. If you don't, raise your hand. You need what, huh? Now we're good. Okay. Pardon me? Thank you. Okay. The book's called Christian's Everyday Problems, Strength by Daily Living. Leroy Brownlow, and we're on page 14. Find that. Shall you go to God in prayer, please? God, our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for opportunities such as this, where we can come together to study from your holy and divine word. Pray that each and every one has prepared themselves to with this lesson tonight, so they can get more out of it than if they did not. Bless us and continue as we continue to walk this Christian life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we went one paragraph below, but I'm going to go up to number 3. See number 3 in the middle of the page? I'm going to start there instead of in the middle of something. Forgetfulness is one of the characteristics of true forgiveness. This is the way God forgives, for it is pure and true, no make-believe, and he remembers it no more. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, Hebrews 10:17. Not only forgive, say you forgive somebody and do forgive somebody. We got to work on doing the forgetting too. This scripture says, God does it. God doesn't have to work on it. He says it's forgiven, it's forgiven. We have to continually work, keep working on that one. Be strong. When the missionaries first went to Labrador, they found no word for forgiveness in the Eskimo language. Word, which in Eskimo literally means not being able to think about it anymore. That's a long word, isn't it? They had to make up a word. Forgiveness, which forgets, enables one to be put behind him all wrongs he has suffered from others and thus find a new life. This was true of Joseph, who suffered the meanest treacheries and cruelest injustices at the hands of envious brothers who sold him into slavery. They sold only his body. They could not sell his spirit. And his spirit was never broken. With a free spirit and with God on his side, he climbed to the top. He knew that life is too wonderful to be ruined with hate and bitterness. In keeping with his disposition, state of mind is another way to interpret that, Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for God said he had made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And there's a good application of that name and what it means in this lesson. Genesis 41:51. Thus, it is noteworthy that we never read of Joseph saying, I resent, I'm offended, I'm taking exception, I don't like, I've been mistreated, I'm happy, unhappy about, I've forgiven but not forgotten, I'll get even. That was the one he could have easily come up with, didn't it? Joseph found the abundant life in forgiveness and forgetfulness. And it can never be found apart from the Christ-like bigness of heart. This story about Joseph and his brothers and when he introduced himself to them, that's a good story. How did he seat them? He had dinner with them. He had them seated. He had them seated in order, didn't he, of age. They didn't recognize Joseph. It's been years since they saw him. So they're trying to figure, how did he do that? How did he do that? Because he knew who they were. They didn't know who he was. But right there is one that, I don't know, if you're going to get even, that would have been a good time to do it, wouldn't it? That would have been a grand time. He finally told them who he was, and then they probably became scared he would try something, but he did it. He took it in stride because he knew God was in this plan to do that. Yes, Sharon. Thank you. Joseph had faith in God that things would work out. He didn't have a clue how, I'm sure. But he had faith in God. And it was he and his family, were he and his family better off because of what happened? Yes, they were, weren't they? It was tragic. It was terrible when it happened, when he was sold to these slave dealers. But he worked himself up in Pharaoh's house. And everything came and turned out for good at the end. Number four, forgiveness is a matter of mercy rather than justice. A mother who knew this sought the pardon of her son from Napoleon. The emperor said in his second offense, it's a second offense, and justice demanded his death. That was their law. The mother replied, I don't ask for justice. I don't want him to get what he deserves. I'm pleading for mercy. But said the emperor, he does not deserve mercy. But, said the mother cried, Sir, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for. So he thought she made a pretty good argument. Well then, said Napoleon, I will have mercy and pardon your son. And he did. We too need mercy, not justice. We need to be given a sentence for what we've done. Probably. We don't want that, though, do we? We don't want that. We don't want justice like that. All men have sinned and done come short of the glory of God, right? But we don't want that. But we do certainly want and need and desire mercy. And hence we cry out, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of my tender mercies, blot out my transgressions or sins. Psalms 51:1. In our effort to develop bigness of character, let's not forget that God shall execute judgment without mercy. But this is the qualifying statement here. To those that have not showed mercy. You don't show mercy to others. Thank you. I knew something wasn't right. If you don't show mercy to others, God won't show mercy to you. Pretty simple, isn't it? Easy to understand? Let's look at I want to look at this in the King James first of all. So let me get, and the verse is 2:13. For he, God, shall have judgment without mercy, that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment or triumphs against judgment. That's certainly what we want as God's followers. And then I think I had the contemporary down here too. Just a little clarification, 1273. And this is verses 12 and 13. James 2, 12 and 13. Speak and act like people who will be judged by the law that sets us free. That's the new law, the Christian law. Do this, because on the day of judgment there will be no pity for those who have not had pity on others. But even in judgment, God is merciful. God's always going to tend to be merciful. And sometimes we just don't deserve it. The more abundant life is unafraid. And that's what we're studying in this lesson, the more abundant life as a Christian. Fear is one of the greatest adversaries of a happy and successful life. The whole creation is afflicted with fear. Everywhere you turn, fear, fear, fear. Some fear disease, such as the COVID thing. A lot of people have feared that, haven't they? But we're going to get through it. Others fear starvation. Some fear society's condemnation. Some fear earthly burdens. Many fear death, because they're not ready for it. They don't understand it. Fear is overcome by faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. King James uses the word, what there, instead of love? Charity. King James uses charity. But most of the other versions, you translate that love. Our faith in God sustains us. I had fainted unless I had believed. Psalms 27:13. My faith in God is keeps me going. That's what I put in. My faith in God keeps me going, keeps us going. Hope serves as an anchor for the soul. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Sure is firm and steadfast. Love casts out fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Who has perfect love for us? God does, doesn't he? That's the kind of love we need to keep working toward as Christians. Be more and more like him and his son. And then be of good courage. You may lose a few battles without losing the war. You may lose a few battles, but you can still win the biggest fight. Now the review exercise. I don't know if you've noticed, but you probably have. The conscience books, which I've used in the past, they're pretty much in order. When you get back to the questions, so if you find the first question, it'll be probably the first, second paragraph. The next question will be just shortly down the page. Not true in here. You've got to search the whole lesson to find them. So you'll end up reading the stuff 3, 4, 5 times before we're done with the lesson. Why did the psalmist say that he would fear no evil? Because he knew that who was with him? God was with him. He knew that. David knew that. Why should we not let our hearts be troubled? Because we believe in God and his son, right? Believe in God, believe also in me. That's what Jesus said. It's both of them. Why did Joseph call the name of his... call the name of his firstborn Manasseh? Good, good. Because God had made him forget all of his toil or problems. God worked with him through this to make sure it came out right, like God wanted it to come out. Joseph did not give up. What kept the psalmist from fainting? 4. His belief in who? God. Fainting here means giving up. Calling it quits. 5, what does the Bible say that casts out fear? Love. Remember faith, hope, charity, or love? And the greatest of these is love or charity. Love can cast out fear. The love of God and his word. How will God judge those who have no mercy? That's the easy one. Without mercy. If you have no mercy, don't expect any from God. And there's more than one parable about that. I think there's 4 of them. Quote a passage which should make moat hunting less attractive. And why behold the moat? That means a speck. just something real small. Why are you worried about that? In your brother's eye, but consider not the beam, which is a log, which is in your own eye. Something's not right with that. How are you going to help somebody when they know you're a whole lot worse off than they are? You're not. You're not going to be effective. So clean your own act first, and then you should be able to approach the brother or sister. Paul, number 8. Paul, in admitting his error, stated that he did what he did. That he did whatever he did against the church. Remember, even people thrown in jail, Christians killed, their lives taken with his consent. Perhaps he didn't do it personally, but at least he consented to it. He was standing there when it happened. He did that. Yeah. Ignorantly. He used the word ignorantly there. With unbelief. In unbelief. I didn't know any better. That's what he said. And that's true from what we read about it. But then when he found out the truth, what did he do? He used the rest of his life trying to make up for it, didn't he? He was on the road, all these missionary journeys he took, continually preaching here and there, being thrown in jail himself. He worked the rest of his life as hard as he could work, trying to save souls, trying to convert them to being a Christian. And he ended up pinning about half the New Testament. Quote a passage which tells of the sin of omission. So him, if you know to do good and you don't do it, what is it? Sin. Sin of commission is one that something you do that you know is wrong. Sin of omission is something you don't do that you knew was right. He's a... Charlie? Unknowing. Not according to knowledge, yes. Okay, good. Good comments. Thank you. All right, thank you. Number 10. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Okay, now I'm going to read this one. That's from Philippians 3:21. Yeah. Put down the wrong number. Pardon me? Oh, okay. Thank you. I don't know why I had six down there. I guess it's supposed to be a one. Now it looked like a six. Okay. 121. Here we go. Sorry about that. Still don't think I got it right. Okay. Let me check that one off. I'll fix it. It's definitely 121. Okay, sorry about that. The next page is number 11. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest who? Thyself. Scripture? Right. Romans 2:1. That's right. Name four great men who made bad mistakes. First one that he mentioned is who? Moses. Second one is Saul. Third one is, and the fourth one? Saul. But that's not the same Saul, right? Old Testament Saul, New Testament Saul. Two different guys. The Apostle Paul, the name was changed from Saul to Paul. That's New Testament. Saul, the king that David had a problem with, and he was trying to kill David, catch David and kill him. That's the one in the Old Testament. They all four made mistakes. This is a true and false question, number 13. For a Christian who has wronged another to be pardoned, he must confess to both God and the one wrong. True or false? True. Do we understand that? No. It's hard to do, hard to understand, I think, for a lot of us. At least that's the way we act. But if you wrong a brother or sister, you go to them, talk about it, pray about it, and fix it. You don't come to me or Skippy or anybody, Wiley. Don't go to somebody else. You got a knot with somebody else, or you got a question about what some did, go to that person. Otherwise, gossip and just completely, it gets out of hand. God said, take it to them, and then God through prayer, and God will forgive you when you forgive. But that person needs to do that as well. Number 14, forgiveness is a matter of mercy rather than justice. True or false? True. Everybody should have true for them. We gave justice, no sense even having a, talking about it. It's locked in. Oh, yeah. If you won't show mercy, if you won't show mercy to others, God is going to show you justice. Because he's not going to have mercy on you. Good, thank you. Number 15. Education will save us from many sorrows. How does that one sound? False? Where'd that one come from? I don't know. A lot of people have a lot of education and they don't do anything right spiritually.
I don't think
it is, but I think the point is you can't educate yourself outside of God's word and expect to get much value out of it. You got to be trained and understand God, the word of God. That's how you live your life spiritually in an abundant living. Number 16, thought question. Two things, two questions. What do you want out of life, and how do you plan to get it? I put what I want out of life is eternal salvation. How do I plan to get it? Remain faithful to God's word. That's what I put. Perhaps you have something different, or longer than that, shorter than that. But the word of God is what we're going to be judged by, isn't it? And that's what we have to keep. Make sure we read it, understand it, and put it into practice. And we'll be okay. Okay. Any other questions or comments? We've got a first bell is about to will ring in about a minute or two. Good? Okay. Problem this, yep. Okay, so you could read that either way, couldn't you? Yeah. Right, you could. Got to be educated in God's word, educated in secular matters too as well. Even the secular ones, they won't save us. But they might make the path a little smoother for them sometimes and get rid of some of our many sorrows. Okay. Just kick this one off and do the first part of it. So, God has said, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, and even those who reason by use, by reason of use. have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, Hebrews 5:14. Discern means to see and identify by noting differences. And that's what this lesson is about, discernment, being able to distinguish those. I must distinguish good from evil, right from wrong, truth from error. This is not a problem of choosing between the pleasant and unpleasant, but rather between the good and the bad. What may be pleasant may be bad. What may be unpleasant may be good. So the problem is not one of choosing that which necessarily pleases me, but of choosing that which is best for me and others, the church and the gospel. That should please me. Though I may sometimes wonder, why it is necessary that I be tried by fire, tested. And we have several scriptures that tell us about that, warn us that's going to happen. Needed to be tested, make sure our faith is sound, rock solid. And we're better for it when we pass through that trial. Number three, by reason of use means that by reason of practice or habit. That is what the Greek word means. Remember, this author has a degree in Greek as well. Long practice with the right standards enables the Christian to effect the right discernment. The Christian's mental facilities exercised at first on simple truths become a practice or a habit which increases his power later to apprehend the higher and more recondite ones. Now, anybody know what that word meant? Or do you have to look it up like I did? I've never used that in a sentence, I guarantee you. It means, there's several things it can mean, but I think probably an easy one is profound. It's profound, and more profound ones. Because the Hebrew Christians had failed to bring out their faculties, which increased with practice, they were open to criticism of still being spiritual infants, in need of milk rather than meat, strong meat. Paul told them that you've been here, you've been Christians, you've been members of the church for quite a while now, several years, and you still need to be taught the first principles. The simplest things you don't even understand, don't know. You should be working on much harder learning now. Other things you need to know and understand as the church is in its early years. But you can't help with that because you don't understand the basics, the simple basics. And that's where we'll stop for next week. That's a good place to cut off. So top of page 19, next week. That'll be the 20th. Okay. Any other comments? The bells are set. I don't know if you're aware, but the bells are set to go when the ringer's there at 7:30, and then 5 minutes. That gives you 5 minutes to wrap up. 7:35, it's over. All the other classes will be out here. So, thank you for your kind attention, and the other bell should be ringing pretty soon.